Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 17th day of January, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Buckle Up. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelites of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, Borada, Cumriambith. Callers are welcome, but please keep it short and also watch your language as we have a mixed audience. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody contacting the call will be muted at my end until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we have a daily mail page there where we put the latest information that we're finding. And again, it's a mixed bag. We're asking you to chew the meat and spit out the bones. As we've had many discussions of late, if I only sent out everything that I agreed with 100%, you would not see anything in your inbox. I haven't found anybody yet putting anything out that I agree with. You have to have spiritual discernment. Again, chew the meat and spit out the bones, because we are living in perilous, perilous times. Speaking of which, before we get into any chats or discussions, and I do apologize for having to restart the program. When it first fired up, it didn't recognize who I was, and the version of the desktop that came up was not the standard, so I had to restart it real quick, and that's why there was a slight delay. And again, I apologize for that, but crazy things are happening these days on computers and with software, even on the phones, so who the hell knows why. But that was the reason for the glitch at the beginning, and again, I apologize because it caused me to have to restart the program. Let me take care of a little administrative chore I have to do here, and again, this normally would have been done before airtime, but you got to be able to go with the flow, so to speak, as the enemy is going to throw roadblocks and put bumps in our road, especially now as we approach the 20th, today being the 17th, and some of the pundits out there are saying anything could happen between now and the next couple days, especially in the world of finance and the economy. Again, we put out the caveat that you should be prepared for a period of shutdown. We've been screaming that for years as far as preppers. You should have at least a 3 to 6 month supply. At this late date, we're just saying, please, at least have a week to 2 weeks just in case. I mean, you don't know when there's going to be a power outage or a storm or, I mean, any natural thing, let alone the craziness going on in the world of politics. We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brothers, or brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be quickly shaken in your mind. Are you paying attention? We ask you not to be quickly shaken in your mind, and not be troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, meaning the stuff that's coming into your inbox over your phone text or your email, as if from us saying that the day of Christ has already come. In other words, your Savior is already here. in the form of what? Institutions, governments, bankers, educators, whatever. Man-made institutions, your savior. Christ means Messiah, which means what? Anointed saviors. Let no one deceive you in any way, for it will not be unless the rebellion comes first, or that's what's called the great falling away from what? From the faith. Did not Christ say, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? And the man of sin, and again, sin is transgression of his law, and who's violating Yahweh's law today? Virtually everybody. The man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction, he who opposes and exalts himself against all that is called of Yahweh God, or that is worshipped, so that he or it sits as God in the temple of God. Sits as God, meaning creator, magistrate, overlord, in the temple of Yahweh. Temple. Would that be like earth? This domain that he created here and placed Adam in it? Isn't this his creation? Is he not to be the Lord of this entire world? And yet we have those who would sit in his place. Continuing, setting himself up as Elohim God. Exactly what these world systems have done, haven't they? These governments, these bankers, these institutions, these corporations. Have they not all set themselves up as if they are your saviors, your masters, dictating every facet of your life? Do not you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now again, remember, this is a letter to the Thessalonians from Paul. This is not the words of Christ himself. This is a letter to a particular church. Now you know what is restraining him. Who's him? The people that are against Yahweh and everything he stands for. To the end that he may be revealed in his own season. So he's being restrained. The outing of the man of sin is being restrained until it's time. For the mystery of lawlessness already works. So even 2,000 years ago, lawlessness. And again, whose law are we talking about? Our Heavenly Father's law. That's the only law that matters. Man's law sure as hell doesn't matter. Only there is one who restrains now until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahweh will kill with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the manifestation of his coming. The truth, folks, the truth. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who are being lost, because they did not receive the love of the truth. Who are the people quaking and shaking with all of the mixed signals that we're getting today? Extremely positive and extremely negative. Again, will I find faith upon the earth? So those who did not receive the love of truth, that they might be saved. So what saves you? Soter in the Greek. Salvation from physical harm here in this world. What saves you? The love of truth. If you love truth about medical and you learn that the natural is the way to go, aren't you blessed? If you learn that GMO foods and hybrid seeds produce foods that are not fit to eat, does that not save you? If you learn that Yahweh and his law brings peace and justice and truth and prosperity, does that not help you and save you? If you study the scriptures and you read the Proverbs about the prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it, does that not set you up that you're not going to fall in with those who make no preparations at all? If you know that putting a poison in your body will eventually harm you, will that not save you, that you will not take the injection, even unto death? Because if you take the injection, you just choose a slow death versus a quick one. If they threaten you with death, my personal opinion is that they're not going to be allowed to do that. Because of this, Yahweh God sends them a working of error that they should believe a lie. Now, this translation puts working of error, deception, a false presentation of the world, shall we say, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, you got to remember, everything happening is for Father to know who's who. Who's going to make it into the kingdom and who is not. But we are bound to always give thanks to Elohim God for you, brothers loved by Yahshua, because Elohim God chose you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Here we go with that belief in the truth again. How many family members, how many friends and all, you try to tell them the truth as you have discovered it, and are they interested? Most of them aren't. To which he called you through our good news, or the gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold the traditions which you were taught by us, whether by word or by letter. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach himself, and Elohim God, Yahweh, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we've talked a lot of times about Pavlov's experiment, where the dogs were given a positive stimulus in which they were fed and petted and treated kindly, and then they were given a very negative stimulus and the dog was beaten with a stick. And of course, the experiment showed that after a while, all the dog had to do is feel the stimulus, whether it was the ringing of the bell or turning on of the light, and he would either wag his tail and salivate or cringe in terror without the person coming into the room doing anything at all. Sounds like us sitting in front of our computer screens and television sets, doesn't it? Whatever the stimulus coming across, there's no reality to it. You can go outside your door and everything looks like it's pretty much normal, but you come in front of your stimulus, your electronic toilets, and you're either extremely happy or extremely sad, just like Pavlov's dogs. And now what you're being exposed to is the third part of Pavlov's experiment. Because now as you sit in front of your electronic toilets, you're getting bombarded with extremely positive and extremely negative stimuli. And so you're going to sit there in stark terror just like his dogs did. Not going to the left, not going to the right. Not retreating, not advancing. Just sitting there, terrorized, mesmerized, incapable of any kind of defense because you don't know the truth. You believe the lie. You're sitting in front of that opticon called a tell-lie vision or any other electronic toilet device, and you're being bombarded. I can't tell you how many phone calls and contacts have been made with me in the last 48 hours by people completely terrorized. And these verses out of 2 Thessalonians ring true. Because that's exactly how people, and here's the amazing thing. Most of the people contacting me are believers. People that have actually read scripture, actually pray, actually walk with the Father, and yet they're behaving exactly like Pavlov's dogs because of the stimuli. What is happening in the homes of people that don't know the Father at all? Can you imagine? Excuse me. I really feel bad about that for those folks, because weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth describes the situation pretty damn good. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, that's going on everywhere right now, because again, nobody loves the truth. The people out there in general don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth about the Jews. They don't want to hear the truth about Jesus Christ was a Jehudite. He was not a Jew. He was a member of the 12 tribes of Jacob. Stop calling him Israel, because that's what gets everybody screwed up. Go back to his original name, Jacob, so they remember. Israel in the Bible was a people. It's not a country. It's not a place. Jacob Israel was a people. And our Yeshua, our Savior, our Messiah, came in the form of man, Yahweh in a flesh body, to fulfill his purpose. He said what? I came as an example. Why? Because our people are kind of slow on the uptake sometimes. He had to walk amongst us and actually live the word so that they understood the word, because the Pharisees and all of these lying false teachers and false prophets had them completely befuddled. He also came to fulfill a portion of his law requiring the death of the first husband so that the bride could marry the second husband, because we had fallen into idolatry and whoredom, the Bible calls it, chasing after false gods, just like women chasing after neighbors and any man that comes down the street. Whoredom, it's called. And our men are guilty of it too, don't get me wrong, in the sense, the biblical sense of you selling your body, selling your soul for earthly gain. That's whoredom, okay? And that's what's been going on for a very long time. And the enemy figured out our people are very materialistic, and it's not really hard to get them to dance to whatever tune you're playing by simply dangling a bauble in front of them, whether it be drugs, booze, sex, entertainment, sports, money, all things created by man on earth and not by our Heavenly Father. So he says those people are going to have a rough way to go, because again, they stopped loving the truth. And that's where we find ourselves today. Right now, between last night and today, the news coming across the inbox has been all over the charts. You got Mike Adams, the health ranger, painting a 100% doom and gloom that we've been lied to, which we have been lied to by many people, but that's been going on for a very long time. What's new? Have we been set up for a Chinese invasion and takeover? Well, maybe, maybe not. They've been taking over for decades. Economically, you were sound asleep. Don't act like this is something new. China has been gaining influence in this country for decades. Ever since the Clintons opened the door and gave the Chinese access to our patent office so that they could modernize their country and become exactly what they are today, a threat to us economically and militarily. Treason in the White House through the Clintons. I remember this because I was one of the ones screaming and yelling that this was not a good thing. And the fact that your U.S. government allowed the Chinese to have access to our ports of entry on the East and West Coast, control the Panama Canal, entrance into this country across our open borders in Canada and Mexico, going on for decades, and still the sheep were sound asleep. Nobody cared. Nobody did a damn thing about it. Everybody was quite content to continue watching the Philadelphia Flyers or soap operas or porn or whatever the hell you were entertaining yourself with, but you sure as hell weren't paying attention to what was going on. So why are you in a panic now? The enemy has crept in like a thief. Treason abounded in Washington as long as you've been alive. And now all of a sudden it's panic? Well, they've been laying the stage for what's about to happen for a very, very long time. And for the folks that saw it, they were making preparations for it. Those that didn't, they're scrambling now because the hour is late. Quite frankly, there isn't too much you're going to be able to do about whatever's going to happen, really. That's why you should not get too absorbed into what the reports are, whether they're good or bad. As Sun Tzu said, all war is deception. Well, we're in a war, in case you haven't figured it out, a war for this earth. The Antichrist is now in control and has been. Some people say what's futuristic. What part or aspect of this world did not the bankers and corporate giants control? What part? Where do you go on this earth unless it's some remote island that they don't care about? You might find some indigenous natives there that still operate as they did thousands of years ago and using seashells for currency or whatever. Maybe. But even that's getting pretty remote nowadays because they have the ability to travel and spy and obtain control over virtually the entire earth. It's been going on for a long time, right under your noses. Sound asleep. The sheep have been sound asleep. Let's see here. Let me just check out my notes. Oh, Ralph in Canada says the nicknames, they're not called Canada anymore, it's Chinada. Interesting. Well, again, it boils down to a matter of faith and who you walk with, okay? If there is no saving by the grace of Almighty God, then you might as well kiss your ass goodbye. Because without our Father's intervention on our behalf, you've already lost. They've already taken control, folks. There's virtually nothing they can't get away with because you've sat silently by allowing it for decade upon decade upon decade. And the people trying to warn you about this, whether it was the John Birch Society or James Traficant or Congressman Finley or Charles Lindbergh Jr., Henry Ford, I mean, there's a long list of people who were acting like prophets telling you of the dangers that were coming on. Henry Ford spent millions of his own money, and that was a lot of money back in the early 1900s. Henry Ford spent his own money to produce the book called The International Jew to warn people about their activity. And again, everybody was too busy having a gay old time, and it was ignored. The Jews led us into wars, the two worst, of course, being World War I and World War II. The Civil War was atrocious in the loss of white flesh and blood. Again, we eagerly went to war at the behest of the Jew. All he had to do was produce some sound bites over radio and television, and off we went, killing our brethren. Despicable. If you imagine yourself sitting on a great white throne looking at your creation and their behavior, would you not be repulsed at our behavior? I mean, be honest. Just for a moment. Think of yourself as a righteous and holy creator who put this all together, and he put a special people down on this earth called Adamites, the white race. And he gave them a commission to keep law and order upon the earth. Would you be happy with what you see going on right now? Would you be happy? I doubt it. And so now we've got a lot of these channels or platforms or pundits, if you will. They are painting everything from a glorious, righteous revolution that will bring about a new heaven and a new earth through the workings of man with a new monetary system, to the direct opposite, that all is lost, the world bankers will take over, and they'll use Chinese communism as the cover, but we all know damn well who controls China. They hide behind the Communist Party. They created it just like they created the Republican and Democrat parties here in the United States as cover. They created corporations as cover so that the Jew can do practically anything he wants to do and then claim it's a corporation's fault. And since a corporation is not flesh and blood, how do you punish a corporation? Oh, fines. Who pays fines? The people that buy the corporation's products. So the corporation is never punished. What a clever way to get out of punishment. In God's law, there is no such thing as limited liability. That's a creation of the Antichrist state. But again, we fell into it. We turned our backs on the fact that this was all going down. How can you say that you cannot have the death penalty? Why would you carry a Bible and claim that you're a believer when you allow somebody to take away the death penalty? You just gave license to rape, murder, sodomize, and kidnap, which just so happens to be the premier uses of mankind by the Jews. I'm sure that's just a coincidence that the Jews were behind the taking away of these corporal punishments, because they themselves would be the ones hanging from gallows the most often, because they are the purveyors of these things. As Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, said 2,000 years ago, nothing's changed. But we are near the end of the age, and we're going to see that you will never return to what the world was like prior to March of 2020. That world is gone. And to be honest, that world needs to go away. The question is, where do we go from here? The question is, what are you personally going to do about it? Because that's ultimately the only thing you have control over, is your own personal walk with Messiah, your own personal walk upon this earth, and what you as an individual will or will not accept. That's the only thing you have control over. I've had a lot of people contact me, well, are you going to join a militia? Are you going to do this or whatever? I can't speak about what my neighbors are going to do. I can't speak about what all the citizens' militias and hunters and gun owners are going to do. If they rose up, they could quell this nonsense going on overnight. It's the largest army on earth. But if they're transfixed to just sitting there on their asses like Pavlov's dogs, which is what's happening, then of course nothing will get fixed. Nothing will be done to stop what's happening. You can see that. Evil still prevails. The righteous still are not doing a damn thing about it. The wicked still walk the streets with impunity. And everybody sits around, well, why isn't justice done? Why are you looking to man-made institutions to fix and punish other man-made institutions, all of which are controlled by the central banking system? All of them have been compromised to the bankers. In the scriptures, we just read some, but you could read Malachi and the rest. all of the corruption, all of these disastrous and perverted things going on are being done by wealthy people, people with lots and lots of, quote, money. The elites, people call them elite, but they're not elite. They're degenerates. They're devils. And they get away with it because the righteous, again, refuse to come together in one accord because we've been divided on every issue you can even imagine. Okay? They've got men against women, boys against girls, old against young, white against black, black against white. Every area of life you can imagine, they've got us divided by putting out bullshit on the internet and across the electronic toilets. Because we refuse to step outside our doors and just take a look around and realize that we don't need any of this stuff. So rather than put our faith in our Creator Father, we still listen to and believe everything coming across the toilets. It's really a sad statement that man has reached that point. And again, as you read the scriptures of the countenance of Messiah when he walked this earth, it was always one of foreboding. Can you imagine a righteous creator who put on flesh and walked amongst his creation? Can you imagine his disappointment as he sat in and listened to some of the conversations going on? Just picture that today at this present time. Here you are. Let's say you're invisible, which the creator could obviously do. And you're invisible to the world around you, and you walk amongst these people listening to the things they talk about, the things that they enjoy, their beliefs, etc. Can you imagine the expression on your face? Even you today, how many of your family members and close friends and all, how many of them give any concern day to day on what our Heavenly Father thinks about the state of the world? Now, in this audience live, obviously many of you do have a concern, but we are a mere handful out of the population of this earth. But out there around us, how many of them do you think give a damn at all about what our Father in Heaven thinks? Whether you read the Bible or not, where is your Holy Spirit? Where is your conscience? Where is your soul, the thing that makes you a living, breathing individual? So many people, it's astounding to me. It really is astounding how few people care about the truth and how much pain and suffering we have in this world because of it. Just in the area of health, we've discussed that many times on this program, just in the area of health, how many of our friends and relatives are suffering, and yet we have solutions that would ease their pain, and people don't care. The average person just doesn't care. Isn't that astounding? I find it amazing. For instance, you know, we talked about Dr. William Kelly, and I interviewed him many times before his passing. But, you know, he was a dentist and developed cancer, and he figured out a way, and he was only in his 30s. I think he said he was like 32. So he was a young man, healthy, and he had prostate cancer, which is considered by many in the mainstream to be fatal. There's not much they can do once it metastasizes within the prostate area. So, but the doctors had given up on him, and he figured out a way to do it naturally. His particular program dealt with enzymes. So many natural paths have different ways of doing it, but Dr. Kelly used a protocol dealing with enzymes. And he told me that, you know, he cured himself, and, you know, he passed away, I believe, just under the age of 80. So He had an additional 45 years that the doctors said he would never see because he did not listen to the doctors. Dr. Kelly loved the truth, and Dr. Kelly knew his identity. So he changed his profession from dentistry to naturopath and dedicated the rest of his life to helping people. And according to his records, he had over 30,000 people that he had assisted with their health. But he told me the story about a lady that had come to him. She had been sent home to die by the doctors. They'd given up. They'd used up her insurance with all kinds of radiation and chemotherapy. So they sent her home to die, and she came to see Dr. Kelly, and she only had like 2 months to go, according to them anyway. So Dr. Kelly said, look, I'll be glad to help you, but I'll be honest that with only a couple months to work with, you're asking for a miracle because the enzyme program takes several months to kick in. And she said that was fine, and Dr. Kelly set about helping her, and praise our Father, she survived. And, 10, 15 years later, she was still doing very, very well. But the amazing part of the story is that her son was diagnosed with cancer. And the first place she went was back to the doctors. That's the state of the mentality of our people today, that they run for solutions to their problem to the world of corporations, government, and bankers to solve their problems when they caused the problem. They don't offer a real solution ever. Ever. They are the problem. And during the time we're asking these very people who have orchestrated all of the evil that we find ourselves faced with, the people still look to them to solve the problem. And they will not look to the King of Kings. And I can only surmise that it's because you can't see him. He doesn't manifest himself in the flesh today. He does through the Holy Spirit, but our people are spoiled because the enemy figured that he can give you images and sounds over these electronic toilets, so you're more prone to believe that because you're picking up those visual and audio signals, and so you put more credibility in that than you do the unseen and the unheard of our Father. But he gave you the key in 2 Thessalonians and other scriptures when he said, lovers of the truth. You can't come to a knowledge of the Father if you're not a lover of truth. And as I like to call it, even the hard truths. Okay? There's a lot of truth in this world that's very difficult for people to accept and handle. For instance, if you try to tell your neighbors and friends about natural health versus the medical mafia, or if you try to tell them that Jesus Christ wasn't a Jew, or if you try to tell them that the Holocaust is a complete fabricated story, it's just like this COVID pandemic. Are people dying? People die every year. All they had to do is change the name from influenza to COVID, and everybody thinks it's something new and dreadful. The same thing with World War II. Were there lots of people who died in World War II? Yeah, just like World War I, Korea, the Civil War. And most of the people who die in wars die from disease and infection. They don't outright die on battlefields. The vast majority end up dead from the consequences of war, starvation, typhus. So the battlefield will claim a lot of lives, but the after effects of the battlefield. And Germany at the end of the war was suffering from firebombing all of their major cities. 52 cities in Germany were firebombed by the Allies. So not only were the civilians burnt alive in those cities, but all the production of pharmaceuticals and all were in those cities as well. And yet people can't figure it out. They believe the lie. They believe the stories, just like they're doing right now. You know, people say, well, that can't be, Diane, because if the Holocaust didn't really happen, we would know that. Well, it's kind of funny. Eisenhower wrote his memoirs. He didn't mention it. Winston Churchill wrote memoirs. He didn't mention it. Dwight D. Eisenhower didn't mention it. General Patton didn't mention it. None of the credible generals at the very top mentioned it. But you believe it because the electronic toilets tell you so, just like the people with the face diapers on. So don't tell me it couldn't be done, because it's happening right to you today, right in front of your face. Only the one happening today is even more ludicrous than the story of the Holocaust. What's happening today is even more easily proved to be fake and phony, and yet you're buying it. Talk about a strong delusion so that you believe a lie. It's amazing how easy it is to disprove this whole COVID nonsense. And yet, look at all the people with diapers on their face. Even the ones that doubt the story, they'll still put the diaper on, because they don't want to be confrontational. They don't want to be called a bad name. And so now, because of all the compliance that we have, the corporations are now starting to put pressure on you and the bankers as well, that you will either comply or the New World Order will take you out of the system, and you will not have the trinkets and baubles and money to operate within this world system. You can see it coming. It's here. It's in your face. And over the next few days, it could get extremely worse unless the righteous take a stand. Now, a lot of people say, well, it has to, Dan. It was foretold. So, you know, I'm just going to sit back on my ass and just let it happen, because it, you know, I got to just survive for 2 to 3 more years. And, you know, Yeshua will come. He'll fix the whole problem. And, you know, that's it. That's all we can do. Really? That's all you can do. Interesting. First of all, you're assuming that the scriptures you're reading are the originals. Yeah, you are. You're assuming that the Greek and Hebrew that it was taken from was correctly translated. That's your assumption. Then you're assuming that the people that do the publishing of all this material have done so faithfully. That's your assumption. You're assuming that somebody has done the work and figured out the timeline that's within these documents. That's a lot of assumption, because you don't have proof. The only proof we have is the fact that this is one sick world getting sicker by the moment, and the righteous aren't doing a damn thing about it. That's the only thing you do know. The righteous are sitting on their asses, doom and gloom. We can't do anything about it, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here, leave it up to my neighbor, leave it up to the mayor, leave it up to the commissioners, leave it up to the governor, leave it up to Washington, because I don't want to work with anybody else. I don't trust anybody else. But I'm going to trust the governments. I'm going to trust the bankers. And once you've acquiesced to the point where they have total control, what makes you think they're going to be merciful to you? You don't know anything at all about communists and how they work. You know, we've only had Bibles for a few hundred years, and some people would argue that our people have been neutered by the scriptures. When they should have been edified, they should have been lifted up, they should have become even greater warriors, but instead they've been neutered to where they're of no earthly good these days. I mean, it just depends on their take or interpretation. They want to run and hide. I've got some people thinking that the United States, it's foretold the United States will be overrun, and so they're running and hiding in other countries and far remote areas. Other people are just of the mental attitude of, I'll just sit here and die. I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to prepare. I'm not going to have a weapon. I don't want to go to heaven and have to explain why I hurt somebody by shooting them or whatever. They got 1,000 different excuses to sit on their ass and not get involved, not take a stand, which is kind of weird because I just heard the testimony of a gentleman up in Canada who used to be working for the deep state when he was a younger man, and he had a conversation with the owner of a store, and this is in Canada, which is more dystopic than we are. And he told the manager of the store that he was a fool. And he said, you're wearing that mask. He said, you're actually harming yourself. And he explained why. And he said, you're being a fool, and you're trying to get me to hurt myself because you're foolish. And the manager of the store actually took his mask off. And then he turned around and told all of the employees to take theirs off. So he took a stand. And now there's a store in Western Canada that the owner and the employees are now breathing fresh air because he took a stand. Can you imagine what would happen if millions of believers would take a stand instead of just acquiescing because Scripture said this has to happen anyway? Let me just pose a question to you. Now, we know Satan is a clever little devil, and he knows our minds and the way we work. Let's say you put yourself in his position for a moment, just like I asked you to put yourself in Yahweh's position. Put yourself in Satan's position, and your goal is to subdue the world. And you know that Yahweh's people have much greater power than you do. When they come together of one accord, meaning in one mind, they are invincible, literally invincible. What greater deception than to create a world church, a worldwide, quote, religion, and pump out nonsense that basically defuses your ability to defend yourself? Wouldn't that be a master stroke? I'm just postulating here. I'm not telling you or saying that that's what happened. I'm throwing a what if, a conjecture for you to ponder. If your goal was to do that and to subdue the earth and get those whose job it is to protect the earth to acquiesce and just sit there, wouldn't that be a masterful stroke? It wouldn't cost you a thing except bribing and assassinating your way into the power structure of the, quote, world religions, keep them subdued with their debts to the bankers, and then infiltrate it with your own people, perverts and satanic pedophiles, so that now those groups, those institutions all teach your doctrine, and the sheep all sit out there in obeyance, thinking that all is lost. This was meant to be. There isn't anything we can do. Satan's all powerful. He's got so much military and money. So we, the children of the Most High, oh, what are we to do? What's the scripture say? Oh, that's right. Who can war against the beast? That's what we would exclaim. That particular verse, I think, is accurate because I see it all around me. People in total anguish. Oh, but Dan, it's the beast. What can we do against the beast? If I had listened to that kind of rhetoric 21 years ago, this radio program would never have come into existence and sure as hell wouldn't have been on here for 21 years. And I could say the same for many of the people listening in your walks and your ministries, your own personal ministries. If you listened to that kind of logic, you wouldn't have done what you've done. And yet, most of the guys I know who have taken a stand have not regretted doing so. I sure as hell am not regretting it, and I don't know what's going to come between now and the 20th and after. But just as 21 years ago, I made a promise. And even before that, when my Father in Heaven opened my eyes to the identity message, I made a promise then as well that I would speak his truths to the world if he gave me a chance. This is before the internet came into existence. And I had no idea how in the world an individual was going to speak to the whole world. How was that even possible back in the day when I said that? And yet here we sit in January 2021 and we have desktop computers everywhere. We have a thing called the internet that reaches out even to some of the most remote locations upon the earth. We have cell phones that if the internet isn't there, cell phone coverage goes into many of these remote locations. Can you see how the door was opened to do exactly as he said? A way was made to do exactly what I said I would do? Wasn't my doing. I didn't create the internet. I didn't create computers. I have no idea who came up with all this stuff. It's ingenious. I have a hard time believing mankind did because they're pretty ignorant. It's almost as if divine providence had a lot to do with the inspiration and the details of putting something like this together. How fast it works, how reliable it is today. When computers first came out, they crashed all the time. It was quite common to hear somebody scream because the computer crashed and they just lost all their work. Today, you hardly ever hear about it. Do you see what I'm trying to say to you? Okay? You take a step of faith, you make a commitment to do the right thing, and then you allow the Father to work in your life. If we as a people would do that, can you imagine this world in short order? Can you imagine a world where there is no Antichrist activity going on? Can you imagine a world where there's a sound money system based on biblical principles? Agriculture based on biblical principles, family structure based on biblical principles, punishment of criminals based on biblical principles. You would have a new heaven and a new earth, wouldn't you? All we have to do is obey the Father and stop sitting around second guessing what will happen. I like what General Stonewall Jackson said, one of the greatest generals in the South. He said, duty is ours. The consequences belong to God. In other words, we as his sons and daughters, we have a duty to be righteous, a duty to protect the innocent, a duty to speak truth and combat evil. That's a duty. The consequences are in the hands of the Almighty. You and I can't have anything to do about it. We're too weak. We don't have the power. We don't have the vision sometimes. All we can have is the commitment to do what's right, come hell or high water. And we as a people have allowed ourselves to be lied to, deceived, bought off, threatened, bribed, you name it. so that we no longer do our duty and due diligence. We've gone the way of the world, just as that scripture said. And as Malachi said, we've become doubters. We've become conformists. We've become complacent. We no longer represent a force in this world for good because we've been disarmed mentally and physically. And if the communists take over in 3 days, you'll be disarmed physically as well, meaning your weapons. They will produce a false flag, which they have done many times. This is nothing new. It's not like you got to be a prophet to see this one coming. They will produce a false flag so that the sheep that sit with their faces glued to the electronic toilets will believe it, and they'll claim that you and I are a problem, that guns need to be confiscated, and anybody not doing it will be either put in prison or shot. And you say that's impossible. Are you not watching what's happening with the face diapers around the world? You've got men and women in uniform virtually beating and dragging people away and incarcerating them over a face diaper. What do you think's going to happen when they create a false flag presentation and claim that you're a threat with your weapon? You don't think these same sheep will just roll over and let you get hauled away? You have to pick your line in the sand. Where are you going to draw your line in the sand, folks? I know where mine's at, but I'm asking you, do you know where yours is at? That's what Father is testing us for right now. Where is your line in the sand where you, as an individual, will not back up any further? Do you even have a line in the sand? Or is it your plan to just continually back up? I got news for you. That's not passing the test. I don't think the Father expects us all to be biblical scholars. I don't believe he thinks we should be prophets and soothsayers, because really, it's pretty basic what's going on. It's good versus evil. It's pretty basic in the sense of draw a line in the sand somewhere. Figure out what it is and draw it. For me, it's a government trying to stick a poison in my arm or take away my means of self-defense. Those two items are lines in the sand. Yours may be different. I'm just saying, I have chosen those two because you cannot come back from them. Once that poison's in your body, I don't see how it can be undone. Now, if Yahweh reveals a way that it can be, well, that might change things a bit, but I don't see it. Because you have allowed the poison in your arm, but even worse, you have given your worship and reverence to the beast. You've said, I've given my rights to my body over to a governmental system. That's a major step. And the same thing could be said about allowing yourself to be disarmed. You see, they don't want you to think about the fact that we all will perish in the flesh. There's no one of us going to live forever in these corruptible bodies. They don't teach that in church as much anymore, and in our conversations we don't talk about it because it's uncomfortable. People are uncomfortable with the fact that this world will terminate for us one day. We like to think we'll live forever. It's ludicrous, but we do that. Whereas the person that is willing to face his end, just knowing that it's just the way of the world, it's just a step. It's a step that we're all going to take one day anyway. At least let your life stand for something. Because if the enemy takes over, many of you are going to go by the wayside anyway. If you don't think these people have a bitter end for you in mind, you're crazy. You are deceiving yourself. You haven't studied history at all. You don't see the handwriting on the wall. So again, pick where your line is in the sand that you will not back up from. And you better do it quick, because every indicator I see says that we are on the precipice. Our toes are now hanging over the edge of the cliff. That's how close we are. You don't have time to read books, study manuals. You don't even have a hell of a lot of time to do much praying at the moment, because we're there. I hope you've taken the steps to prepare for this moment, because you've been given plenty of warning. I'm not going to try to predict how this thing plays out, other than the fact that you are standing at the edge of that cliff. You better mentally know what your next step's going to be at this point in time. All right, we've got a caller. Let's see here. If my software works. Gary, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Morning.
At least morning here. But anyway, yesterday, as you were talking, yesterday I was standing in line at a bank because I want to draw my money out of there. And behind me was a black guy. And he was standing there. I saw a conversation I started up, you know, gee, look what's going on out there. Come to find out, he tells me he's a school teacher, black guy in a white neighborhood. Okay, he teaches in our schools. And then I brought up, you know, that's some of the problem, because the school teachers and what they teach, he flat admitted that they don't, he downplays anything to do with religion, he calls it. He says, you know, there's other religions out there. He tells his class this. You know, and who's in control of these little minds, you know, is this guy. And he starts to tell me that, and then the next words out of his mouth without me even asking was, and I'm not a Democrat. You know, I'm a Republican. I says, well, you don't talk like a Republican, at least the ones I know. He says, well, like I said, you know, we have a free mind. He went into that stuff that you talk about all the time. This is a black guy. He knows what to say. And he's a teacher. So he's teaching our children. He's a member of the union. So, you know, they've already educated him on what to say. And he's standing in line at the bank. He's not broke. He's unemployed. So,
wow.
I thought I would give you that to start you off with, you know, how these blacks are being taught what to say. They are the ones that are in civil service. They are the ones that are being taken care of with what's left of our money. And we don't know what to say. They tell them what to say. The first words out of his mouth, I'm not a Democrat.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because he knew what we were going to say. This is a school guy was a school teacher. He knows what we think. I'm not a Democrat. I'm registered as a Republican.
Wow.
No, you're not. I told him that. I says, no, you're not. I left it at that. But he commenced to tell me all this stuff about the one thing that I do, he says, is, I teach the little children, I teach my classes, that there's other ways and other means to a power greater than yourself. I says, is that right? I says, when I was in school, they taught us about Christ. He says, that's the problem. I says, not at that time, it was great. But then I just saw, you know, they make you stand 10 feet apart, whatever it is, so I just forgot about talking to him. But this was a black guy just telling us all this stuff that we're always talking about. You know, and he's black. He presented himself very well as a black.
Well, I've noticed here lately some of the people have been telling me they've seen the same thing, that many times when Hispanics or blacks are in the neighborhood and they see you outside, they're glaring at you. I can only imagine what they're being told about us. I'd say about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago now, I had a conversation with a very well-paid and educated black in nuclear power. He was a supervisor in operations, and there was an event that happened in Tampa, Florida, and he came into my office and closed the door and wanted to know what I was going to do about it. And I said, well, what the hell are you talking about? And he said, well, you know, they hung a black guy in effigy in Tampa and set it on fire. And it was a guy that had murdered a white teenager, I think. And I said, well, first of all, Bob, I said, what makes you think I have any control over this situation? That's number one. And number two, how do you know that the event actually happened? Just because it's on the electronic toilet doesn't mean it's real. And he said, well, I know you have a lot of contacts, and I know the way you feel about things. He said, so I just assumed you would have contact with these people. And I said, well, I have family in Tampa, and nobody there has told me anything at all about this so-called event. And come to find out, it was made up by the lying media, that there had been no event at a gas station where this dummy was hung in effigy and set on fire. It was completely contrived. But the point of it is, during that conversation, he told me that we know what you guys are buying guns for. And I went, we? And you guys, I said, I thought you and I were having a conversation as individuals here. So who's the we you're talking about, and who are you guys? And he said, well, the black community. He says, we're told by our civic leaders and church leaders and stuff that you guys are all arming up because your plan is to murder us in our sleep. I said, you're actually being told that? He said, yeah. And this was years ago, long before this period of time. So can you imagine what the minorities are being told so that they become the army for the New World Order to come after the armed white guy? You can see by all the staged events, that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to demonize us so that they turn all of these minorities against us and they will do the fighting for them. Because let's face it, the New World Order is being led by cowards, and so they will try to influence others to do their bidding for them.
Well, you'll notice it now. You can really notice it, but back when I was younger, let's say 45 years, 50 years ago, you know, I lived in a black community, and those preachers were all racist from what I could see. They would talk down to us. I mean, there's a few good ones, but not too many. So these blacks do learn how to be racist in their church. They go to church to learn about Jesus, and the white man stinks. So this is not unusual. I wish our people would stick together as well as those black people do. This crap wouldn't be going on, that's for sure. It would have been stopped a long time ago, but we don't.
No, we've allowed them to divide us on so many issues, it's unbelievable. The Christ, when he walked amongst us, told us to forgive 70 times 7 and to turn our cheeks to our brothers and sisters in order to keep our family ties and our belief ties together, and yet we've violated those admonitions completely, haven't we?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they talked against us. All the white churches that I know of, they're closed. You can't go in there, even though you spend all your money for it, so you can, you know, in tithes, you can't go in there. What's the government doing telling us? The Constitution forbids them from doing that crap, but they say, well, it's an emergency, the Emergency Act. Where in the Constitution does it say there's a special act you can do to control the people? Well, what happens is you've got the county board of supervisors coming out with a code that says you can't do this. You know, the County Board of Supervisors is government. And, well, it's not actually them that's doing it. They set up the health code or whatever it is in the area. They're doing it. They're government. The Constitution is put there to tell the government what to do and not to do, or what they can do and what not to do. It's not for us. We have all rights. The only rights they have is what the Constitution says they have. And the Constitution says they have no right to come and tell us what to do. But people don't know that. They say, oh, we have constitutional rights. No, we don't. They do. Well, now that they've been brainwashed so bad, they say, oh, you're saying that they're free. No, the rights that they have is awarded them by the Constitution is the first right they have is not to do this to us. They can't do that. They don't have that right.
Right. The Constitution says what they have the authority to do, and it also lists the prohibitions that they're not allowed to do.
That's
so
right.
It's like one guy said one time, and the Constitution was written to restrain government, not us. Our rights, our God-given rights existed prior to the Constitution. So the idea of the Constitution bequeaths rights is ludicrous. I mean, you got to be a complete moron to believe that.
Well,
so the government promotes that because then they can get you to think that your rights can be toyed with, which is a lie. Okay, that's why they take an oath of office. You and I don't take an oath of office. So the Constitution doesn't apply to you.
The most I said when I was born was wah, wah, wah. That was it. You know, and I didn't go any further than that. Now, you're right. I'm standing out here listening to these people saying, well, we have constitutional rights. Where are you getting that crap at? Well, my school teacher told me that. No, the school teacher told you, well, I don't know about their school teacher. Mine told us when I was a kid that there's a constitution out there that forbids the government from doing certain things. You know, it doesn't
right.
say anything about my rights because I had a bundle of rights. Call inalienable rights.
Well, again, all they got to do is change the wording, and they talk about your Second Amendment rights, and they got you believing that that's where your rights come from. It's just like now, you get the flu, but we're going to call it COVID-19, and it becomes a whole different ballgame. You now
mm-hmm.
believe that there's a deadly virus that's going to affect all this, and if people don't put a dirty diaper on their face, they're actually affecting your health. And all they did was change the names. That's all they did. It's the
really?
Same flu that we get every year, a different strain of the flu, and the death rate actually is less. In 2020,
well, you know
the
that.
Death rate from the flu was actually less than it was in 2019 and 2018, and yet just by changing the name to COVID-19, they were able to get our people to believe a complete and utter lie. It's unbelievable.
Well, it also has to do, it helps them out in as much as diet. I mean, we're sitting out there saying, you want to eat a healthy breakfast, do you eat oatmeal? Oh, no, I eat cornflakes. You know, or you go down to the list and, no, I don't do that. You know, how much meat do you eat? You know, red meat. You know, a little bit's good for you, but a whole bunch is not good for you at all. Bad for the kidneys. And the kidneys is what strains a lot of the poisons. You know, you sit there and why aren't we working on the diet? Stop this COVID stuff. Start working on diet. Well, there's no profit for the enemy with that. All the sickness and what's going on is profit for the enemy.
I've got an even better one. How many children die every day to infanticide?
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we've got more babies being butchered on a daily basis than all the other maladies, including this so-called COVID influenza.
I've never seen anybody they're pushing a stroller, you know, with their child in it, and they got a mask on their face, and I have. I've gone by and said, where's his mask? He doesn't have to wear a mask, and they get a little bit upset about that. I said, well, doesn't he breathe in and out? You got to walk away quicker. The mother's going to slap you.
Well, I've got people I'm talking to. They got one lady has a daughter that is so paranoid over this, she won't even let her grandmother come visit her grandson because she won't wear a mask all the time. So it's the idiocy that's out there today is beyond comprehension. To a person that can still think, it's just beyond comprehension.
And you know, our race is so stupid. We, you know, if the government says it, it's okay because we put the government together for the benefit of a society. That's the way they think. Now, the black people, you know, that live in certain areas, they don't think like that. That's white man's government, not theirs. Their government is to be able to do whatever they want. You know, so now we're being obedient like we're taught to be, and the next thing you know, they're taking that obedience that we have and using it against us and, you know, taking an advantage of us. I mean, in a couple of days, you know, we're going to go from the President of the United States to a fellow that had tons. I mean, they have all the documents on what he did, or him and his crew. He stole the election. That's a major problem or a major crime. This guy should be hanging, not trying to make him leader of our country.
That will be the sign. That's why I said the 20th is the breaking point. We, you know, we talked about approaching the tipping point. Well, the 20th is the breaking point. If the communists come to power in Washington, your country's over.
No,
it's over. The country as we know it is over. It doesn't mean that our Heavenly Father doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that we at the local level don't have things that we can do. But as far as the Washington, D.C., it's over. If they come into power after stealing an election, you have no more elections, fair elections. Your whole form of government dissolves on the 20th. You're in trouble. Even if Trump gets in there, you're in trouble because you got to take back control of your damn government. You got to stop acquiescing to something Washington does all the time. You've turned Washington into a god. Okay, so even if Trump stays in there or whatever, you got to stop worshiping institutions and hold people accountable for what they say and do. We're guilty of that no matter what happens on the 20th. But if the communists get away with this steal and take over the reins of so-called power anyway in Washington, you can count your republic as officially dead. The republic that started out 250-some years ago or whatever, that's dead. It's gone. Completely gone.
Well, we are in trouble, that's for sure. We can see that. And the only person I can lean on right now is Jesus. That's all I can lean on. Because there is no other power out there greater than the Master. And he is the only, and he's allowing this to happen, you know, in front of our eyes. Will he stop it? We don't know.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. But what did the prophets tell us and common sense tell us about a Savior? He's not going to do it if he doesn't get the credit for it.
That's right.
Okay.
Well,
whatever happens, he has to end up getting the credit for it.
That black school teacher that's teaching our kids, don't worry, there is no such thing as your parents are telling you that. You know, we have to send our kids to public school, and they teach them shit, then we can't figure out why little Johnny, when he gets into high school, is a real jerk. Because they taught little Johnny how to be a jerk.
Okay, Gary, you're guilty of what everybody's guilty of. You said we have to send them to public school. No, we don't.
Well,
no, we don't.
But that is what they tell us, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they tell us. See, they get you to without thinking, you mimic what they say. No, we don't.
Yeah.
You can homeschool. There's private schools. You can do lots of things if you wanted. just like with the diaper thing. There's exemptions from it if you choose to use them, but if you're just going to acquiesce every time some moron tells you you got to put it on, well, then, of course, it's what's going to happen. That's the problem. Our people don't have any backbone.
I don't know how it is in Florida, but I know here there's a lot of places, if you don't put the diaper on, they won't let you in. Now, to me, for instance, one time I went to the doctor's office, had an appointment. So, and the wife was with me, and all of a sudden they wanted me to put this diaper on. I said, I don't believe in that. I said, that's not good for me. Well, they said, then you can't see your doctor. And I said, okay. So I walked out. The only reason it was because it was something I had to see the doctor because it was an illness that he had to do my prescription or something. And the wife said, you know, maybe you should do it because you're not going to be able to see him. That's the only reason I done it, because they'll lock you out of stores. They lock you out of everything. I went to the bank yesterday to get my money out of the bank, and the guy wouldn't let you in to get your money unless you had a diaper on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it's come down to. The corporate has taken over. That's what it's all about, is corporations now ruling the show. And then, and here in California, we got an idiot called Gavin Newsom for a governor. He's not a governor. He's a king. Whatever he says, you got to do. I mean, this stuff that he says, you know, Elka Bonsha Group, they looked up the laws on it, and it's not there. There is no laws saying you have to do this. Well, there's a code, a county code. So that's not a law. You have to go back to law, and you have to go back to the original law called Constitution. It says they can't do this. But people don't pay any attention to that.
Well, they can do anything they want if everybody's just a bunch of sheep. And that's what we've become, a nation of sheep. We don't challenge anything. Even when the law's on our side, we still don't challenge it. One of the listeners wants to know, Gary, if you're seeing a lot of military forming around in there. Is there an influx of Chinese?
Well, there's a lot of Chinese, but no military. I mean, they have all these Chinese restaurants, you know, tons of them opening up. And you see Chinese walking with black pants and white shirt, you know, all over the place. So there's a lot of Chinese. And when I first saw them, I said, they're all coming over here to take over our land. I said that 10 years ago.
That's what I mean. This communist takeover has been going on for decades, and people have been sound asleep.
They say, well, you know, we're all equal and we're all the same. Where do you get that crap at?
Well, if your enemy can make you believe that, then he wins, doesn't he? Doesn't even have to fire a shot. You've given up.
You look at a Chinaman and they say, well, they're equal with you. They're blah, Nichols with their blah, blah, blah. And I say, that does not look just like you guys tell me the black man looks like me. We're all ain't. They don't look like me. I'm different. You know, now, my people did start this country, not them. They're coming over here because something in their country they don't like. You know, the one here, I don't see them going in droves back to their lands. I see them coming over here, though, and taking our stuff, stealing our stuff. But people, they're just going to have to wait till they go upside down, then they'll wake up.
Well,
some of them are waking up now because, you know, they're sort of getting tired of the system all you have to do is come in this country and race down there and you get a paycheck and a house and food and everything. If you're white, you try that. See what happens.
Well, when you let aliens rule over you, you violate Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and that now you're seeing why the word says not to allow aliens, racial aliens, to have political power in your country. That's a commandment from the Father.
We don't hear that from the church pulpits.
Well, because you don't have real preachers. You don't have real men of Yahweh in the pulpits. You've got spies and members of the secret clergy registry or registry of clergy or something. I can't think of what it is right now, but it's got 3-letter acronym for it. But clergy response team. That's what it is. The clergy response team, CRT. Yeah. And that's what they're part of. They've already signed on to this takeover and agreed that they would cooperate. So
yeah, you got these big gatherings, you know, what they call huge churches. One of the big ones here, of course, is Shadow Mountain. And that's where that's his name? He's one of the biggies that's out there. You know, it's on this natural. And here you go to the Shadow Mountain, which is a college, a high school, and school, plus this huge cathedral-type building, and it's all empty. And you go, what's going on here? Well, the government said, church's supposed to be separate from the government. Church and state, remember that old thing that everybody likes to talk about? We're separate from the government. You tell the government what to do. They don't tell you what to do, especially on your own land. But all these preachers that you know, they must all belong to that organization that you just spoke of.
So, yeah, the clergy response team. Yeah, Ralph just sent in Revelation 17:17 in relation to what we see going on. For Yahweh God has put in their hearts to do what he has in mind, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of Yahweh should be accomplished. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So the great city would probably be Jerusalem, as in the Jews control London, control Washington, D.C., and control the Vatican. So that's 3 legs of the trilateral, military, monetary, and religion, all controlled by the same group of people. So it reigns over the kings or the administrators or the presidents or prime ministers of the world. That same corporate structure rules over all of them. And so when people finally repent and come back to the Father, Father is going to allow that to be destroyed. It will be destroyed, but how much pain and suffering do we have to suffer through in the meantime? All right, Gary, I don't really have a whole lot more. I mean, all I can say is people just need to stay alert, and we are really, really, really close to some major, major things. For people that haven't made that commitment to the Father, they better do it pretty quick. Got any closing thoughts?
Well, I just tell people to go around and tell other people, Make yourself known. You know, be an irritant to the crowd. Because when you start telling the truth, you're going to be an irritant to the crowd.
Yeah, the world hates the truth.
Here in California, you know, if you go out here in the streets, everybody's got a mask on. You know, geez, this is perfect for the criminal. Now he has a reason for putting a mask on. Just go out there and just be an irritant. When you go into a crowd and they got the bat, ask, what do you do with this thing on your face? I mean, why aren't you got a good looking face, why you want to cover it up? You know, maybe there's some guys that's probably a good deal, you know, for the public, they do cover up their face, but you know, anyway, that's about all I have to say. Is just go out there and be an irritation. You know the rules. You know, you and I are free men. That's what our Constitution gives us. That's what our laws, well, I can't say too much about the laws because they've gone contrary. So anyway, the Constitution gives us freedom. Use it.
Yep, absolutely.
So anyway, I also wanted to say God bless the pastor, Dan, and his family. God protect them and protect the people he knows, and let him continue with the truth as he's doing. We ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Yahweh bless. You guys take care. I'm going to ask Adam if you want to step in and with any comments, questions at all, because you've been following the chat better than I have.
Oh, hey, Dan. Yeah, I mean, just normal comments. There's a lot of good stuff, but I'm not sure it's worth talking about necessarily. I did just want to say one thing about the schooling of children. I think at this point it's pretty clear that I don't think if I had kids, which I don't, I would not send them to any kind of school, because that's nobody's business what I teach my children, none whatsoever. I really don't at this point believe there's any reason to trust the need for a high school diploma as it's required from our state. So that's just something that comes to mind. If you have a family, that's your family. There's no reason you should have to feel obliged to participate in a system that is coming from some government system. Anyway, that's just something that I've thought of.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. You're right. It's a God-given responsibility for parents to see to the proper raising of their children, and education is a add-on. It's got nothing to do with a properly raised child. They've got you believing that you've got to educate them to death. All that does is guarantee a communist indoctrination. Children were treated as just little adults in ancient times, so as soon as they were old enough to responsibly handle a chore, they were given chores to do, and they were taught by the man of the house or the woman of the house how to accomplish different chores. And then as they got older, they were taught skills by a master craftsman. It was called an apprenticeship program. So, those things are up to the individuals and family, because every family's got children in it that will never amount to a hill of beans. I mean, there are just some children that have no ambition whatsoever. And so they end up getting very menial type jobs. Well, you're not going to change that with education, because they're not motivated. We got people getting high school diplomas and even college diplomas now that are functionally illiterate. So obviously the system failed completely. So, we got to get back to what our Father had intended, which is we're born free men and women upon the land, and these man-made institutions need to be destroyed. They need to be completely destroyed. And so we won't have freedom and liberty until they are, all of them, destroyed. All the man-made religions, all the man-made banking, all the man-made governments. That's the world system. That's the beast that it's talking about. They're all a creation to govern and control us, to get us to do things that we should not do. So.
Yeah, and the corporation obviously is a big one.
Yeah.
And I know you grew up on a farm. I'm sure you can picture a life or skills, I guess, that you picked up on the farm that have nothing to do with sitting in a classroom. And those are the most important skills, I think, that personally I think that is one of the highest priorities, is that we return to farming the land for our own small communities and not for any kind of commercial profit.
Right.
So that... You could probably speak to that, but that's what I think our kids or our children, I don't really like the word kid, I think that's what they should be learning. They should be learning how to play out in the dirt and grow things and whatever, milk cows, all that kind of stuff. And then
sure.
Carpentry, I mean, what else do you need to know? You need to know how to do useful things, and there's nothing more useful than producing food, storing food, knowing what to do with livestock, all that is the higher priority than anything else I can see happening in my little city.
Right. Amen to that. All right, Adam, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up then, and thanks a lot for co-hosting here, bud.
Yeah, Yahweh bless. Thanks, Dan.
Yep, Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, here on the 17th of January, we're only a few days from what I consider, anyway, the breakover point for this republic. It will cease to exist if they steal the election and a communist is inaugurated under the guise of a constitutional government, which no longer exists anyway. And if he does not make it in there, then there's at least a hope that there is some intercession going on behalf of the righteous. But even if it does, the people of Yahweh need to rise up and shake off this whole world beast system to usher in a new world that's governed by the laws of the Almighty, and that men and women treat each other as sharers of this domain and agree to live under the laws of the Almighty, and completely obliterate the beast, destroy it, burn it to the ground. That's a biblical way of saying take it to its roots, destroy it. As Malachi says, leave neither root nor branch. That means take it out like a weed. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for this opportunity to share. These are perilous times, as you warned us by the prophets and by your apostles that walked with you 2,000 years ago, when correctly translated and witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. We understand that we have abandoned you. We've walked away from you in all regards, and only with repentant hearts and forsaking this beast system can we find grace in your eyes yet again. So we just pray for an uplifting of those who truly do love you and love truth, that you would be with them and guide them, fill them with your Holy Spirit, give them a stiff backbone, take away any and all concerns and fears, and let us stand and walk whatever time is given to us as real men and women upon the land, full of grace, full of truth, the beauty that comes with those that walk a righteous life and witness to others. And may you, through your mercies, watch over your people and guide them through this time, that at the other end of all the destruction that will come upon this earth, that we will walk upon the land once again and proclaim you as our King and live as you intended man to live upon the earth. Again, we ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings and our short sightings, our weaknesses, our foibles, and we ask that you would also protect each and every one of us from our multitude of enemies as we look forward to your return and your establishment and your taking the throne. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.